Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, God, what do you want to do this year? Because last year, we really went on a powerful journey. And so this year, we felt that we were supposed to start with thriving homes. Ironically, Pastor Caleb was actually the one that felt that, and he's not here this morning because he's snowplowing people's homes so that they can thrive, right? But I can't wait for his message that he'll bring in this series. But what we really felt was thriving homes. And the saying that we actually felt was our Vision 2024 saying is thriving homes transform cities. Thriving homes transform cities. And don't worry, we're not going to put it on the hallway. Our church advisor, he says, don't put it in the hallway until you're walking it out, right? To how many times you kind of like put something up like Hobby Lobby and then you forget it's up there, right? So we're not doing that, but we actually want this to be something that we're living out in 2024. And we've been praying in as a team and would love to hear any thoughts that any of you guys have as well, because we're all in this together. Some different ways that we can help homes thrive this new year, but also transform our city. And so over the next couple weeks, I'll be talking about that. We have some initiatives we're going to be doing. It's going to be very exciting this year. But we wanted to start by talking about thriving homes, because how many know you want to see your city transformed, right? We want to see our region transformed. I know we don't live in a city, but it sounds a lot better than thriving homes transform villages, right? I don't know. That just doesn't quite have the same ring to it. So we're calling it a city. But there is a city of Ithaca kind of there, and we live in the outskirts, depending on where you're joining in from. But how many know it's easy to say you want to see your city transformed, right? If you're a born-again believer and you know what Jesus can do, and you've seen him do it, and you want to see him do it again, you want to see your city transformed. But we have to realize that a city transformed is actually made up of homes that are transformed, right? Home by home. And I'd had this vision last year, and I saw this road, and then I saw these homes, and they were getting transformed one by one, and then pretty soon the road got transformed, and then pretty soon the city got transformed. And it's so much easier, or maybe it seems simpler, that we just want to see some wide paintbrush, right? Just kind of sweep color across our city, when we have to realize that it's actually home by home. And so that's what this month and really this year is about. So I want to start off. I'm getting all mixed up in my notes here because I'm way ahead of myself. But I want to define home real quick, because depending on your life season, that word home means different things. So we'll wait to actually define it for just a second, because I'm going to ask the question, what word comes to mind when I say home? And I wanted a whiteboard here. I was going to be a church with one of those cool whiteboards. I was going to write it out, but we'll do that next week maybe. But what word comes to mind when I say home? And I wrote down a couple pairings, if you will. Anxious home, perfect home, survival home. How about a messy home, a broken home, a busy home, a discouraging home? How about a noisy home, maybe a silent home, a lonely home, an empty home? How about a full home? Maybe us feel homeless. Maybe it's a big home, a small home, a stable home, an unstable home. Maybe for some of us, home is where we run to. It could be where we run from. It could be where we invite people over. It could be the place we avoid and try to escape. Isn't it funny how that one word can mean so many different things depending on what you pair next to it? And some of us thought that our home would look one way at this point in life, and it looks a very different way. Maybe it's positive, negative. Maybe it's neither. It's just different. And so today, if the word that you put next to the word home doesn't sound like this scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If the word you put next to home doesn't sound like abundant life to the full, then I was going to have this dry eraser, right? We were going to erase it together, and we're going to write the word thrive next to it, all right? And we're going to define what that looks like here in just a second. But I love this Charles Spurgeon quote. It says, "When the home is ruled according to God's word, angels might be asked to stay a night with us, and they would not find themselves out of their element." Isn't that cool? Now that would do well on a dining room table or a dining room, right? Although I don't know if angels would want to stay at my house. I think I need to clean it a little bit right now, right? Depending on what word we put next to our home. But God wants to remove the words that we've put next to the word home if they sound more like stealing, killing, and destroying. And that's what we're unpacking. So I want to define the word home this morning, because obviously the word home could be a physical home. But the more I thought about it, the more I felt that this month's definition of the word home is the human heart, or actually the place of most influence. Because if you think about it, a home is the most influential place in someone's life, no matter their age, right? And even if you don't spend that much time at home, what your home is like will affect you. It doesn't have to be permanently affecting you, right? There can be redemption, or there can be other things going on in your life, but the home is one of the most influential places in your life, no matter your age. And if we go by that definition, the Bible calls the most influential place in your life your heart, right? So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And that word heart means inner man, mind, will, and heart. So how many know if you paint an old house brand new on the outside, it doesn't mean it's structurally sound on the inside, right? And I know a friend who bought a house and it looked okay on the outside, and let's just say they have been in for a very long adventure on the inside, right? And I went to Europe to visit family 2 years ago now, I guess it was, and we were somewhere over in Europe, and we were staying at a friend's apartment while we were there, and we were just enjoying being there for a minute. We were exploring the city and, you know, taking a shower, drinking water, you know, the basic necessities. And then the owner of the apartment came over and he was like, "Oh yeah, it's been really rough. We really petitioned the apartment owner, but they've got lead pipes. Just the whole building's lead pipes. And you know, we just finally had to give up." And I was like, ah. So like, I, needless to say, I was very thirsty the rest of the trip, right? Because on the outside, it was like the most beautiful apartment building. It would have put anything in Ithaca to shame, right? And the ceilings were like 20 feet high. It was spectacular. And of course, because of the currency exchange, it wasn't that expensive, right? But on the inside, there was something going on that I had absolutely no idea, right? Now we're fine. You know, everybody's okay. However, in my normal life, that would not be a normal pipe, right? So I was a little bit disturbed, to say the least. But outside can be new, outside can look great, but on the inside is what actually defines whether it's healthy or not, right? And then, of course, you also have an outside that's beautiful, an inside that's beautiful, but it's just empty, right? How many know it's who lives in a house that makes it a home, right? Maybe some of us had that person in our life that made it a home for us, or maybe we were that person to others. That's one of the best gifts you can give, is making a house a home, right? And this past week, my uncle Renee, some of you might know Renee White, he passed away, and I grew up with him. He was always over to our house. We were always over to his. He really defined what being a pastor meant, especially in the downtown Ithaca area. And he constantly had his home open. And so my parents followed suit, and we all had our home open to all different kinds of backgrounds, stages of life, all different struggles coming through. And he really defined it as being a born-again believer is creating a home, not just for yourself or your immediate family, but for people who may not have a family, right? So it is somebody makes it a home, not just a building. You following me? It's very hard to preach to like nobody right there. So, although you're right there online, I see you, don't worry, I'm with you. It's a different experience this morning. All right, so our theme verse, if you've got your Bible, open to John 14, all right? And I encourage you, if you haven't been bringing your Bible to church, bring your Bible to church, because if you don't get in the habit of opening it on Sundays, you won't get in the habit of opening it any other day, all right? So open it up, John 14, verse 23. There are actually a few verses in this chapter that we'll touch on this morning, and I won't go on too long. But I figure if you made it out this far, we might as well at least hang together for a minute, all right? John 14, 23 says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will keep, everyone say keep, my word. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home, everyone say home, with them. And then we've got a little bit earlier in that same chapter, it says, in my Father's house, this is Jesus speaking, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. How many have heard that scripture maybe at a memorial service, or it's just a very comforting scripture to know that that is a truth we can stand on. That word home, where it says, and make our home with them, in verse 23, and then earlier in that same chapter, in my Father's house are many mansions, that word mansion, that word means abide. Can you just say abide with me? So it's also only used in those two sections of scripture. So you'll find the word home, this is why the English translations and all that aren't my favorite, because you'll see the word home in scripture throughout the Bible. But only twice in the entire Bible is this particular word used for home. And one is to describe God's home in us, and the other is to describe God's home for us. You tracking? So that home word, again, is only used two places, and it's in John 14. One to describe God's home in us, and one to describe God's home for us. And it means to abide. So I thought this was so precious when I discovered this, that there is a type of home that God has created that only exists either in heaven or when we taste heaven on earth. And it's through abiding. Now, last year we did a whole month on how before God said to go, he said to stay. If you were here with us, it was about the Great Commission and how that word abide also means to stay. So God is saying, hey, I've got a place where you can stay in heaven, and also I'm going to stay on earth with you. I don't know. That just struck me powerfully. I thought it was so special also that he only used that word twice there. So it's such a sacred spot that he wants to hold in our lives, whether it's on earth or in heaven, that he only wants that word to be used twice. One to describe God's word home for us, and one to describe God's home in us, right? It's not like any other home you've used or you've ever been in. We don't get saved for heaven one day. We get saved for a taste of heaven now, and then, of course, one day, right? How many have ever just gotten into the Christian walk and you just are so geared on one day in heaven that you kind of check out now? But God actually created us to abide now, because he said, if you love and keep my word, we will make our home in you. We will abide in you, just like one day you're going to abide in us for eternity. Does that make sense? There's a gift. Now remember, that word abide means stay, right? So just say stay. Everyone at home, you stayed at home, right? All right. No shame there. I'm glad you're safe. But that home dictionary definition, so the actual proper definition of the word home, means the place where one lives permanently. All right, everyone say permanently. Eternity is pretty permanent, right? But how many know eternity starts when we invite Jesus into our heart, right? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He holds eternity. And so we actually can hold that in our heart. I know it doesn't make sense to our minds. Matthew 27:51 says, "At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split." Usually that's a pretty Easter-y verse, right, to read. But it shows us that the veil was torn top to bottom. That meant that God said, "I am going to remove the divide between my home and your home because I want to permanently dwell with you," right? Not bottom to top, but top to bottom. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" God is not a step-parent's house that we go to on the weekends, right? He's not a home that we have maybe partial custody. He is a permanent resident. He is a permanent resident. He wants permanent residency in our hearts, and he wants us to have permanent residency in his. So a thriving home is a heart that knows it is a permanent resident for the living God. So let's just break down the word abide just a little bit here. How do we stay in the Spirit? Has anyone ever wondered that? How do you actually stay in the Spirit, right? Anybody know when you get out of the Spirit, it usually looks like producing the anti-fruit of the Spirit, right? It's pretty simple. So if you start seeing the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you may have not stayed in the Spirit for that moment, all right? And pretty soon people might be putting a word next to your home that isn't abundant life, right? maybe you are doing it first. But God's fruit and giftings, they're not meant to be a drive-through window, right? And that's the problem with our culture, that everything is kind of speed. So it's like, well, I'm going to pick up my fruit of the Spirit after I go to Starbucks or Dunkin' or wherever, right? And then I'm going to go to work. And then I'll use my fruit of the Spirit that I picked up in the drive-through window. It doesn't quite work like that, right? We're actually meant to be a permanent residency, a home for the living God. So I wanted to just read from Ephesians 3:16 through 19. This is a very powerful scripture. It's actually a prayer. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may make his home," everyone say home, "in your hearts." And I love this because that word heart means center. So again, that place that has the most influence in your life is your home. "He may make his home in your hearts," or your center, "through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's a lot of filled and fullness, right? And this is a very weird analogy, but you're just going to have to go with me because I've had a weird morning. This morning when Brian got the speck in his eye, and yes, he will be preaching about specks and logs and eyes later. When he got the speck in his eye, we read online that one example is you fill a cup. I hope this is the right thing to do. We usually have nurses here, but I'm not sure if there are any nurses this morning. But anyway, you fill a cup all the way to the full with water, and then you put your eye in it, and then you open your eye, right? We had to fill the cup to the fullness, right? And it was filled with the fullness of water so that he could try to get the speck out, right? There's something that happens when we actually let the fullness of who God is, when we actually surrender and we don't just treat God as a weekend visit or something else, that we actually surrender to God in every area of our life. God can actually cleanse us. He can take specks out of our eye, right? He can take issues that we have been struggling with and even grappling with, and he can say, "Hey, let my fullness wash over you." Does that make sense? Has anyone ever spent time in worship and what seemed really, really important or like a giant mountain suddenly became a foothill? It's not magic, and sometimes the situation doesn't change, but our perspective changes so we can approach it differently, right? And then mountains can be moved. Does that make sense? So there's a fullness of God that God wants to bless us with this new year. And I encourage you, that's going to look different for each one of us, but there is more of God that he wants to pour out on us. So he said, rooted and established in this verse. And that same word, rooted, is found in Colossians 2. It says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built up on him. Right? That sounds like a home to me. Established, to lay the foundation of. This word established is the same word found in Matthew 7. It says, and the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house. Anyone feel like some winds blew and beat on your house this past year, right? But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. That word founded means established. It's the same word. So there's a rootedness that means that we can be rooted in him so that we can build our lives up. And then there's an establishment on his rock that means that when the winds blow and beat on the house, we won't fall. So you cannot abide in God without being rooted and established. Are you following? So one of my first jobs was at a greenhouse. Has anyone worked at a greenhouse before? Nobody? All right, just me. I knew absolutely nothing about plants, literally, but I love cash registers. So I got to work the cash register. It was fantastic. And people would come in and ask me recommendations. And I mean, I seriously knew nothing. So I'd always have to direct them to the owner. But there was something amazing about working in a greenhouse because no matter the weather or the environment outside, it was always happy inside. Have you ever gone to one? And it's just like, it's so much. There's so much life. And especially in Ithaca, even in the summer, it gets a little cloudy here sometimes. And so it's nice to just go in and there's so much oxygen and life. And so if you look at the word greenhouse, the definition is a greenhouse stabilizes a growing environment for plants by buffering the temperature and protecting plants from extreme cold. It kind of sounds like that verse in Matthew 7, right? The rain fell, the floods came, some extremes hit the house, but the house did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Our homes can be thriving, can be a place. That word thrive means to vigorously grow. So your home, your heart, the center of who you are can vigorously grow in God because God is buffering the extremes that are coming at you. And if you feel like the extremes that are coming at you are not getting buffered, it's time to abide in him. It's time to be rooted and established because there is a buffering that can happen. Does that make sense? John 14, 16 through 17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides or dwells within you and will be in you. John 14. So before God said he'd make his home in us or make his home for us, he said, I'm going to send you someone that's going to make his home in you. That was a bit of a tongue twister, so let me rewind here, right? John 14, 16, this is before 23. So in 23, he said, if you love and keep my commands, we'll make our home in you. But if you back up, and then there's some mansions happening in heaven, right, with the same word. But right in the middle, it says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And you're going to abide in him. It's all going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? I don't know about you, but when I go to the fruit basket, anyone have a fruit basket in their house? Nobody? All right. Well, one. Okay. I hope it's not like my fruit basket. At least I don't have one right now, but I used to. And it was always full of rotten fruit. Anybody else have that? Like, it just, no matter what, when you put the fruit in, it will rot right before you want it. I don't know what happened with that. But when I go to the fruit basket of my heart, I want to find some fresh Holy Spirit fruit in my life. And I've been taking note this past week as I was studying this, like, when was I feeling like I wanted to be patient? When was I feeling like I didn't want to be patient? What was going on there? And I was becoming more aware. Was I abiding in the Spirit? And I'll tell you, when I didn't want to be patient, I suddenly became aware I also didn't feel Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean Holy Spirit wasn't with me, but I wasn't honoring the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And so I became more aware when my fruit basket was more full of rotten fruit than fresh fruit. What was going on? What thoughts was I entertaining? What was I watching? What was going on? But also, when we go to the cabinets of our kitchen, or maybe who's got their tree up still? Is it just us? Okay, fantastic. Anybody wants to help take trees down? We got some trees up in the church. They're complicated. I don't know how to take them down. But anyway, when I go to the tree, right, I want gifts of the Spirit, right? I don't want just empty packages. I want gifts of the Spirit. I want the gift of wisdom, of prophecy. I want those gifts of the Spirit. Are you hungry for what the Holy Spirit has to offer this year? Are you hungry? I know this is a simple message, but it's really to start off the year with, are you hungry to have a thriving home? Because God will help you vigorously grow if we are hungry, if we are aware of His Spirit. I'll start to close here. You can't abide in what God is doing if you aren't abiding in who God is. You know, you can walk with God for years and think you're abiding in God, but really you're just abiding in what He's giving you. Does that make sense? So you might, you know, there used to be a lot of conferences, and I grew up going to conferences from like a very, very young age, and you'd see these people, and there's nothing wrong. I went to lots of conferences, but you just kind of conference hop, right? And so it was like, oh, this is the next thing God is doing, and then this is the next thing, and then this is the next thing. But we didn't necessarily always see everybody get rooted and established, right? And there's a difference because you bear fruit when you're rooted and established, not when you're hopping around, right? And some of us have abided in what God is doing and not who God is. And the problem is, the minute God stops answering your prayers the way you want Him to, you might find yourself in a bit of a crisis of faith because you haven't actually abided in who God is. You've just abided in what He can do for you. And the Israelites knew this all too well because in the Bible it says, let me pull it up here, Exodus 7, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go. Everyone say, let my people go. So that they may worship me in the wilderness. He didn't say so that they may come to the promised land. He said so that they may worship me in the wilderness. So before God ever led the Israelites to the promised land, He wanted them to get to know Him as the promise keeper. And if you go into this year just wanting what God can do for you, just looking for your promised land in any area of your life, but you miss the promise keeper, you might end up like the Israelites did. And the Israelites built this idol based on what God looked like from the land they came from their last home, because they weren't getting to know who God was. They didn't want to be with God. They just wanted what God could do for them. Does that make sense? And you know, when Brian and I first got married, he had the back injury, and he was laid out flat on this massage table that we got with our honeymoon money because we weren't going anywhere far. And so he was lying on the massage table and he was just lying there. I've got this picture of him with the back brace and the cat is lying right next to him. It's a very cute picture because the cat was pretending to be like him. But they were both flat out on their back, right? And they could not move. But because Brian couldn't do for me what he normally did for me, I wasn't questioning whether I wanted to marry him in a few days. Because I was marrying him for who he was, not for what he could do. And if you've been in any kind of relationship, whether it's romantic or whether it's a friendship or parenting, especially a baby, right? You don't have a baby for what they can do for you, right? That's just not how that works. But you have a baby because of who they are, right? And so this is a year to abide in who God is, because it's who God is that makes a heart a home, right? Does that make sense? Remember, it was the outside, it can look good on a home. It's what's on the inside that makes it healthy, but it's who is on the inside that will make it a home rather than just a house or just an empty heart, right? So we need to abide in who God is. So why don't you stand on your feet? When we stop loving God and we stop abiding in Him, or we just start abiding in what God can do for us, we start to build an image of who God is that is determined by our past experiences instead of His truth through the Holy Spirit. You can be delivered from your Egypt, but stopped loving God and keeping his word and start to feel like your home doesn't have a nice word next to it anymore. Right? Moses said in Exodus 3, I must turn aside. Can you just say turn aside? And see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. The Israelites came from horrid slavery, and yet for some strange reason that is really odd, they had no problem looking back to the horrid slavery for the home they wanted to go back to when they were in the wilderness. Isn't that just the weirdest thing? Moses came from one of the wealthiest homes in the world at that time, and then he was in the wilderness, which was awful for him comparatively, right? But he never looked back. He always made his home a heart for God. Why did he do that? Because it says, I must turn aside now. So some of us walking into 2024 need to turn aside from some of the things that put a not so nice word next to the word home. And we may need to turn aside from bitterness. We may need to turn aside from our past or from patterns or from ways of communication or dysfunctional cycles. Or maybe we just need to turn aside from constantly looking backwards and actually turn to God, because God wants to make our heart a thriving home for him this year. And so part of this as a church is every January we invite anybody who would like to be part of a 21-day fast. And some of you may have never done a fast before, but they're all different kinds of fasts. And in our lovely announcement video, I had a great little description of it. But what I will say instead is when we're done with service, go to thriveny.org/fast. Okay, it's a very simple URL to remember. And on there, you'll see a worship playlist that we made. All right. We've got a prayer guide, but if you're here in person, you can just grab the prayer guide at the hub and it's in color. Looks a lot nicer here. But if you're online, you can go to the website and download it. And then there's also a 21-day Bible study that we invite you to take part of. This Bible study was made by several churches, actually. So it's really neat. There's a video that's every day that you can watch. And then there's a little prayer and a scripture reading. All right. And that's on the QR code on the chair, or if you go to thriveny.org/fast. And it starts tomorrow. So you might want to turn aside from maybe it's TV, social media, maybe it's a Daniel fast, whatever you feel like God is calling you to turn aside from. It might be very little, it might be huge. If you're doing some kind of water fast, please do talk to your doctor before you do that. I just want to put that disclaimer in. But if you want to start the year off by turning aside and saying, God, I don't want to abide in just what you can do for me, but I want to abide in who you are, because I want my home to be a thriving home. That is what this fast is about. All right? So I just want to leave you with a blessing this morning. I'm just going to read off this blessing, and depending on whichever one touches your heart, I invite you to open up your hands and just receive. I can't get away from the names of God, and I think it's because the character of God is so woven in his names that it's so pure and powerful. So I bless every anxious home to encounter Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. I bless every perfect home to encounter Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I bless every surviving home to encounter Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide for you. I bless every broken home to encounter Jehovah Rapha, the Lord heals you. I bless every lonely home to encounter Jehovah Shema, the Lord is here with you. I bless every messy home to encounter Jehovah Ra, the Lord is your shepherd. I bless every empty home to encounter El Roy, the God who sees you. I bless every lost home to encounter Abba Father. And I bless every discouraged home to encounter Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is your victory. And I just want to end with Psalm 91. I'm going to read this out and then we'll be done, all right? When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He is the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Even in the midst of disaster with thousands upon thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. God, we just thank you that out of all the planets and universes, you would choose our hearts to be your home. And God, we repent for any time where we have gotten comfortable with a word next to the word home other than thriving, other than the abundant life that you came to give. And God, we thank you that there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no, you're not scolding us or trying to get our house clean or anything like that. You are actually just wanting to move right into our heart in a more powerful way than ever before and help it thrive. Help it be a greenhouse so that we can vigorously grow in you in 2024 in every area of our life. So God, we just surrender our hearts to you like it's for the first time. We say, Holy Spirit, would you fill our fruit basket? Would you put gifts under the tree? Would you teach us how to stay in the Spirit no matter where we are this year? And God, we do just commit the next 21 days in prayer, in intentional hunger for you, God, that you would pour your Spirit out on all flesh and let it begin with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.